right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a big 10-game NBA slate. We had tip-off night last night with two games. We have our first big NBA slate of the season. And then we have a single NHL showdown. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. All right. With that said, we do have plenty of questions today to get us started. So let's get SaberSim up and let's jump right in. I'm going to hit questions in the Discord first and then jump over to the live YouTube chat for any additional questions. So first question, what is the interaction of uploaded projections and Sims? If I upload projections and ownership percentages for every player in NBA and NFL, how do they impact the lineup creation and Sims process? I remember seeing somewhere that the difference between my projection and SaberSim projection gets added to or subtracted from each simulated fantasy point value, but I'm not sure if this is still true and if this is the extent of the impact. Okay, good question. So I will start with projections. So Relic did jump in and answer this and go in depth, but the short of it is that we do adjust your we do account for your custom projection differences. So like for instance, LaMelo Ball here, you know, 46 points. And let's say, you know, you put him at like 48. Well, now every time that we run the sim, we are going to shift the distribution of LaMelo. So every time he gets 20, he's going to get 22. Every time he gets 50, he's going to get 52, right? We are taking our range of outcomes for the players, our graphs that you see in the app. And then we are adjusting for your difference in mean projection. Now there is some additional stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Like it is like really high level that kind of Relic alluded to. Honestly, to be honest with you guys, I don't even like fully understand all of that, but the point of it is that, you know, you get to use our range of outcomes with your means and you kind of get the best of both worlds there. So I think it's totally fine to upload projections. And then also the adjustments to projections that you've made get accounted for in the pre-contest sim. So if you, you know, bump Giannis up 2 points, well, that's also factored into the contest sim, therefore the contest sim results and the ROIs and all of that. Second part of the question was the ownership percentages. So right now the ownership percentages don't affect the contest sim. So if you come in here, you know, Giannis projected for 16% ownership at the moment. If you bump this to, you know, 20%, that has no effect on the field lineups. So adjusting ownership will solely affect some ownership percentages, any geo mean calculations you do. It'll affect Saber score because my own affects adjusted own, which is a variable in Saber score, but it has no effect on the contest sim. If you want to upload projected ownership and have it be used in the contest sim, then what you need to do is you need to create a custom set of field lineups. So what that would look like is uploading your ownership percentages. I would recommend coming into the gear icon in the My Own, using the match exposure to ownership. I like to set these to 25%. I've just found that the builder is a little bit better at meeting the thresholds I set when I set this to 25% above and below a player's ownership. So click save. That will set minimax exposures for every player on the slate. One additional thing I'll do is go down to like the lowest projected players. When these players are very, very low owned, this band gets I will come into the minimum exposure column and I will just manually set them all to zero. And then for the max exposures, I will manually set them all to one So there's a number of ways to do this, but you know, you could just come in here and, you know, okay, all these 0.1s or 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. And then, you know, as they go higher, maybe you bump it to 2, maybe you bump it to 3, whatever it is, but standardizing like the lowest owned players' ownerships, that way the builder doesn't even have to put them in any lineups if it doesn't want to, can be a good thing to do here. So consider doing that as well. Then you run this build, and then now when you go to, you know, your contest sim, and then you go to the field lineups option, you switch it from whatever the designated field is. Like if I were to come in here, create a manual contest sim, I can click this drop down, and then I would go to builds, and then I would go and select the build that has lineups. So a build must have lineups before it becomes an option here, but that's what you would want to do, is go to the contest sim, changed the source for the field lineups to the build where you used your custom ownership, and go from there. All right. I think we knocked that one out. So I'm going to hit this next question. What is the best use for aggregates in the rule section? What is the best way to use some product and average? I searched all the videos, and the only thing I see is about geometric mean and ownership. Yeah. So, you know, aggregate rules are rules that get applied on the lineup level. So it's like, hey, you know, I want the minimum projection for any one lineup to be X, or I want the maximum sum ownership for any lineup to be no more than X. You know, it is a not a player thing, it's not a stack thing, but it is a entire lineup thing. And, you know, the rules are here to give people optionality, to give people the ability to do things that they want. Don't think just because something is here that you have to use it. You know, it sounds like you're kind of looking for like a reason to use it. Like, hey, you know, what is like the best way to use this? You know, I always say rules are something that you should use when the builder is doing something you don't want. And, you know, if you can find a reason to use it and have this be useful for you, great. But don't just try to use it just because it's there, right? You're not losing anything by not using it. To tell you the truth, I don't use these at all. There are opportunities to use them where they could be good. And, you know, it's not like, not to say other users aren't using these in a very efficient way. So you just got to kind of figure out, you know, if your lineups are missing something and you want to add something to them, and if this can be the right tool to do so. All right. What should be the interpretation when I save my contests under direct fill versus autofill while they've shown different aggregate metric numbers under average ROI? Are mini uniques the same for autofill as direct fill, since it does not show under autofill? Or is that a display bug? Is it still a great approach to self-sim most of the binary DFS sports? Thanks. Okay, so three questions in one. The first one, you know what? Let's get an entries file for today. Let me do something. Let me just bring in my entry file for one of these slates. I'm going to use one of these express slates as an option. I think this would probably be a little bit easier to understand. So let me get this in here. All right. So we're just basically going to talk about the differences between like direct fill and autofill here. And I'm jumping over to the first express slate for FanDuel. Okay, so I got an entries file. Let's run a build. Just going to build 500 lineups for this example. So let's let this run. Okay, so The first one I'm going to answer is about the MiniUniques. So MiniUniques do exist for autofill. You can see DirectFill has this box here, Uniques 1. Autofill, when you go to autofill, it's just a column. So instead of the box, it's a column where you can change these on a contest-by-contest basis. So just come in here. You can adjust the Uniques as you see fit. Now, I'm going to answer the third question. It's still a great approach to self-sim. So we've moved away from the self-sim, and the reason for that is because we made updates to the way the contest sim worked, kind of based on that idea and that line of thinking. You know, we wanted to apply that to builds automatically and not make the users do this other process. So self-simming, we don't recommend it anymore. And then the first part, what is the interpretation when I save my contest under DirectFill versus AutoFill while they've shown different aggregate metrics? So the reason is that they're doing different things, right? The big thing here is that what AutoFill is doing is it is, even though all the contests are selected, I'm just going to run a contest sim. So even though all the contests are selected, what it effectively does is it unchecks all the contests. It checks the first one. If this is whatever sorting metric you're using, it's going to sort just the lineups in this contest by the sorting metric you have, and then it's going to apply the uniques. From here, it will resort the lineups, apply the uniques, and then continue, right? So it's doing this one contest at a time. It's applying any filters, any lineup filters, any minimax exposures, any uniques on a contest-by-contest basis as it goes. Now, the difference here is that direct fill, when you know all the contests are selected here, it's averaging the ROI across all of these contests. So basically what it does, we can see average of selected contests. So I have all these contests chosen. So it's going in here and then it's saying, okay, you know, your ROI for one contest is 145, your ROI for another is 75, your others for another is 95. And then it's saying the average is 105 if you take all those three and divide it by three and find the mean ROI, right? So you get a mean ROI here. So this is why the exposures can be different, because there's effectively different things happening in direct fill versus autofill. So autofill is contest specific. Direct fill is how many contests you have chosen at a time averaged out. So remember those things when using the two and trying to figure out which one is best for the goal that you're trying to accomplish. Okay, next question. Let's say I uploaded my contest and I have like 160 entries between maybe 8 different contests. If I wanted to do 2 to 3 different builds, like first build to import for 80 lineups, second build for 40, third build for 40, is there an easy way to do this and make the selection to where I want those lineups to go to? Yeah, absolutely. So what you would do is, you know, let's say I wanted to do different builds, right? I have, you know, 4 contests here, right? Well, maybe in this one build, I only want to do the 5. So then what I would do is I would come into direct fill. I would just select the one contest. I would go to the other build that I have, you know, say build 2. I would just make sure that only the next contest I want is chosen. I would fill the lineups for this contest and then go to the next build and do the same thing. So it all comes down to how many contests you have chosen in this dropdown is going to be the key. All right. When I made no changes and ran a build for tonight's NBA slate 30 minutes ago and sorted by ROI, I was showing lineups with 400% at the top and 180% at the bottom. I then did the same thing and ran another build the same way and was showing 150% at the top and 80% at the bottom. Then I did it a third time and I'm showing 130% at the top and 30% at the bottom. Any idea why this would be? So part of it could be We didn't have Poeltl projected, and then I saw that we projected him, but his ownership was at zero. So my opinion is that it probably has to do with ownership projections updating throughout the morning, and that can lead, you know, when a player's ownership is zero, that means they're not in any field lineups. But if they're in your lineups and they do really well, you know, and no lineup in the field has them, that can lead to like an overinflated ROI. But I would say that, you know, the second and third results are a little bit more consistent. There's going to be some differences between the results, even if you run it, you know, back to back, right? There is going to be some variance within the contest sim. So seeing some of those smaller changes, like 150 versus 130, seems a little bit more natural to me. So I would say what you saw probably earlier in the morning is related to ownership updating and player news. And what you're seeing now is probably a little bit more consistent. All right. Those were the first round of questions in the Discord. So let's jump over to live YouTube chat. First question from Sal. I remember you mentioning when using the geo mean, you should change the less than one percentage ownerships to one, such as, you know, 0.67 to one. Am I correct? And if so, can you explain why? Yeah, good question. So sometimes when a player's ownership is zero, you know, geo mean is a form of product ownership where you're multiplying ownerships together. So I've seen it where, you know, a player's ownership is zero, whatever, and their geo mean ends up being zero. Well, that's not an accurate representation of the geometric mean of the lineup. And, you know, it's unlikely that when the geo mean's zero, you're effectively like unique. So it's better to standardize the ownerships to a whole number, like at least one. That way you get a better representation of what the actual geo mean ownership of the lineup is, so you can accurately estimate the duplication rate for that lineup. So that's why I think you should do, that's why I think standardizing the ownership is a good idea. This came from an Ultimate video where Jordan was interviewing Matt, and Matt talked about this. And basically, you know, if you are increasing ownerships for players, you can only benefit from that, because if someone's projected for, you know, 0.5% ownership and you bump it to 2%, you're actually increasing their ownership. And what if they actually come in lower or closer to where their projection was? Well, now your lineup is even more likely to be unique than the geo mean calculation would have estimated, since you inflated that number. So standardizing your ownerships helps with the multiplication process and achieving a more realistic geo mean value, and gives you just a better opportunity to correctly estimate the dupes for the lineup. All right. Aaron said, why isn't it updated like yours on the website? Everything still says zero for me. Okay. It looks like it fixed itself. So if you're seeing zeros or anything like that, just click the refresh projections icon. You're going to see the timestamp up there as well. And that will let you know last time projections were updated for both ownership and projection, as you're seeing if you're watching the stream right now. So just click that if your, you know, projections aren't updated, and that should update automatically. Or set minimax exposures. So depends how specific you want to be. Ultimately, minimax exposures are the best blunt tool. If you know, hey, I want, you know, 10% of this player, no matter what, use minimax exposures. Or I never want to play any player more than 50%, use minimax exposures, right? If you just have opinions about, hey, I think this player is going to play more, I think this player is going to do better, but I'm not, you know, tied or tethered to any one number as far as how much of them I want in a lineup, then, you know, in that case, projection adjustments can be better, because you're giving SaberSim an input saying like, hey, I think this is the actual projection or number that I think should be analyzed. You know, take this number and give me the exposures based on this input. And that way, you know, you're being a little bit more hands-off. You're letting the builder take in that data and be like, okay, well, if this is the projection, then I think you should play this player at this rate in this many lineups, right? So I've done that where I've made a projection adjustment, and sometimes the builder still doesn't want to play a player, you know? So you got to kind of figure out like, you know, do I want to accept that? Do I want to set a minimum exposure at this point? You know, I'm not 100% sure. So you got to figure out what speaks to you better, or what goal you're trying to accomplish. So there's pros and cons to doing both. All right. Good stuff so far. Taking a peek back in the Office Hours channel. Looks like we're caught up there. We've released at least one video each day this week. So we had a projection video on Monday. We had a model interview on Tuesday. We did have a late swap live stream teasing our new late swap feature on beta. And then we just released our how to build winning NBA DFS lineups video 53 minutes ago. So go and check this video out. I'm going to get out of here right now. So that should give you guys plenty of time to check this out in between this show and our build review show, which goes live at 5 p.m. Eastern. So if you guys want to check out this video, I'll drop it here in the YouTube chat so you guys can go straight to that. But appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll see you all at 5 p.m. Eastern for the build review show. So until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.